And I'll stand up here because I know I'm short. So who likes to be afraid? See, I know there's always a couple of hands that go up. I'm not one of them, but who loves this time of the year? Not the cold weather and the snow, but the scary costumes, Halloween night, trick-or-treating. Okay, well, that's fun because there's candy involved, right? But for the most part, do you really like to be scared? Not so much. Maybe a little. A good scary movie once in a while is okay. I'm far over scary movies. The days of watching Halloween and Friday the 13th are well in my past. I can't take it anymore. I don't know if it's because I'm older. I'll add the at the end because I'm going to deny being old. But the whole idea of being scared to us is something that most of us try to avoid. And the scripture this morning, I'm just going to read it to you. It comes from John. It's really about allowing ourselves to be scared. And I'm reading from the Message because to me it made it about that much clearer what Jesus was talking about. So this is from John. Listen carefully. Unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it is never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it's buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. In the same way, anyone who holds on to life, just as it is, destroys that life. But if you let it go, reckless in your love, you'll have it forever, real and eternal. If any of you who wants to serve me, then follow me. Then you'll be where I am, ready to serve at a moment's notice. The Father will honor and reward anyone who serves me. I spent a lot of years as that seed laying on the ground. And maybe some of you can relate to that, but I was that seed that just, quite frankly, I thought life was fine. At least it was good enough. And I thought life was going to be okay. I mean, I had a cute boyfriend. I was waiting for the ring. I was in grad school. You know, things were starting to line up the way you think your life is going to line up. I had some hopes and dreams. But I also had a lot of self-doubt because I didn't know how to make those dreams come true. And quite frankly, was really in a place where I was ready to let life happen to me. And I was faced with the opportunity to deal with some things in my life. And some of you have heard bits and pieces of this story, and I'm not going to go into great detail, but the idea was is I knew there was stuff that I needed to deal with. I knew there was an icky neighbor to deal with. And some of you probably have things in your life that you know you need to deal with. It might not be as big as an icky neighbor. It might be something you simply just don't want to face, or a certain person you'd rather just not have to look at again. And if you're feeling a little squirmy right now, that's not me. God's trying to nudge in you that thing that you're supposed to deal with. But knowing that that was in my life was kind of scary. And life was good enough that I thought, why bother dealing with it? Because really, why bother? Things were going the way I had planned, at least close enough. So why allow myself to be buried in the dirt? But all of a sudden, things started to get a little darker and a little fuzzier as depression set in. Because that happens sometimes when we have big emotional stuff to deal with. Depression sets in. And depression is scary because then the world is already kind of dark a little bit. And everything that you see around you just doesn't have the same vibrancy it had before. And your motivation isn't what it was before. You kind of know you need to deal with it, but now you really don't want to deal with it. And I was terrified. Because dealing with it meant going deeper into darkness. And so maybe you know that. Maybe there's something that's kind of spurring within you, stirring within you, and you know that if you deal with it, you got to go a little deeper into darkness. And that doesn't feel very good. Fear is that way. It has a way of kind of invading every part of our life. And fear shows up in ways that we don't expect. I'm kind of waiting for Kayla. Sorry, Kayla. The obvious things have to do with like depression and anxiety. We expect those to be a place where fear shows up in our life. But are there places that you're kind of defensive about? And this list by no means is exhaustive. This is just the first few things that came out of my head as I was praying through this message today. What about control? Do you have to have control of everything? What are you afraid of? Or do you have some difficulties with anger? And, you know, I have kids. I know there are places where anger is really appropriate. The youngest one isn't in here, is he? Oh, busted again. I did not. Maybe God did, I don't know. That was not a part of any plan anywhere. But sometimes anger pops out in the wrong place at the wrong time. And women, we can't always blame it on those hormones. And we know that there's something that's spurring that anger on that comes from a place that we need to deal with. Or maybe you're an avoider. Do you just avoid anything that's uncomfortable or difficult because it's scary? Do you have secrets? Because I'm going to be really honest about secrets. Secrets will get in the way. Secrets build walls. And they destroy relationships. But maybe you're sitting here going, I don't have anything to deal with. I'm fine. Life is good. And I'm not talking about the people who have already dealt with stuff. Because that's a different place. You have different marching orders, and we'll get to you in a minute. But if you're sitting there thinking, I'm good. Life is good. Kind of like when I was the seed on the ground. I don't have anything to deal with. That's called pride. You notice pride's on the list. The root of pride is fear. So as we spend this time together this morning, just think about what's making you twist and uncomfortable. Think about what God's trying to tell you. And if you're one of those people who's already allowed yourself to be planted and sprouted and new again in Christ, here's your marching orders. Hold up, everybody else, because you know the value. It's your job to help them along their way, because they can't do it without you. Now, obviously, at some point, I decided that it was worth getting rid of that shell. And, you know, when I showed the kids the seeds, seeds have shells on them, right? And that's what fear is. That's that shell around us. That's that distance we keep between ourselves and everyone else. Because we're protecting ourselves. But we know that really doesn't work, right? It really doesn't protect us from anything. What it does is put distance between us. And it not only puts distance between us and our children and us and our spouses and us and our parents and our siblings, it puts distance between us and God. And when Jesus talks about being willing to be buried in the ground, not only is he comparing that to his own death and resurrection, but he's giving you kind of some instructions. That if you really want a full life in Christ, you have to die to this life. Which for me meant going deeper into darkness. Because that's where the shell gets to break loose. And there's this great story about Chinese bamboo. Does anybody know about Chinese bamboo? Jeff and Dana can't answer yes because they've already heard me say this twice. Chinese bamboo has this story that goes with it. And it starts with a farmer and some seeds. And the farmer takes the seeds, and, you know, bamboo is a very fast-growing crop, right? I mean, when it just grows like inches and feet a day. And it really produces a lot of income for Chinese families that have this as their crop. So the farmer takes the seeds out and plants the seeds. And he begins to water the seeds, and he begins to bring fertilizer to the seeds, and he pulls all the weeds so that everything's fine. Just takes really good care of this crop. And a year goes by, and there's nothing. So he continues to water, continues to fertilize, continues to pull all the weeds, and another year goes by. Nothing. He does that for 3 more years. So a total of 5 years before the seed breaks the ground and begins to grow. And the bamboo begins to shoot up from the earth and grow left and right, really. Well, who do you think the gardener is? As we're in those dark places, trying to deal with that shell, trying to figure out how we're going to get that to come off, having people around us to help us, whether it's professional people, whether it's good family like we have here, God is tending that seed. Over and over and over again, year after year after year, he is going to tend that seed. He's going to nurture you. As dark as you feel, sometimes they call it the dark night of the soul, as dark as you feel, he's pouring into you. You're not alone. He's nurturing you. He's watering you. He's taking the weeds out from around you so that you can sprout and become what he promises you. In Jeremiah, he says, I have a purpose and a plan for your life, a plan to prosper you. That's his promise. And it's a promise for all of us. We just have to be willing to be planted as a seed. A few weeks ago, I had the chance to really revisit this for myself. It's kind of funny to me how, you know, pastor says, here's the scripture for the week I'm gone, and then life lines up in such a way, and you're like, that's not a coincidence when things work out that way. But a few weeks ago, I was at work, and my sister calls me, and she's like, I just got to tell you this. Mom didn't want me to tell you, but I really think you should know, so I'm just going to tell you. Do you ever get those phone calls? The icky neighbor died. I'm like, okay. So? And she's like, really? You don't think anything? You don't feel anything? I'm like, well, I guess he can't hurt anybody else. I really didn't care. I didn't know I was supposed to care. And so she said, well, I don't know. Pray about it and see what happens. I'm like, okay. And I got to be honest. I spent that entire day really enjoying the thought that he was somewhere really warm and separate from God. It felt really good to me to think that, yep, that's where he is now. He's there for eternity. And I was really comfortable with those thoughts. Apparently, God wasn't so comfortable with those thoughts because then he got me to thinking, well, what if he's in heaven with me? You haven't seen him in decades. What if he met me? I have chased after him in the same energy and force and enthusiasm that I've chased after you. What if he's with me? I didn't like that so much. I'm just going to be honest. That wasn't a happy thought to me. And so I went home and did what you've heard me say over and over again that I do when I have to spend time with God and need to be really blatantly honest. I put on my headphones, turned it up really loud, and got on my elliptical because it was too cold to go outside. And I started to pound it out. And God and I were really frank with each other. And then he just said, well, would you give it all away? And that's when it occurred to me that it was worth it. Because if I took that all out of my life, I wouldn't have what I have now. If I took the icky neighbor completely out of my life, I wouldn't have what I have now. And maybe that doesn't quite make sense. But even though I had been through all of this stuff, I wouldn't have the marriage I have now. I worked really hard for that ring, that cute boyfriend. I'd kind of like to keep him a couple more years. I wouldn't have the relationship I have with Christ, which I'm telling you, I wouldn't trade for anything. Because coming out of that soil, life has been amazing. It hasn't been perfect or easy, but it's been amazing. And love does that. It takes the ickiest of life and makes it amazing. So I got off my elliptical and said, okay, God, I'm with you. I hope I see him in heaven. I get it. As icky as it was, life is amazing. And love is bigger than all of that. And it's worth it. So I want to encourage you that even though the harvest is plentiful, it's not a but anymore. It's a therefore. Right? Therefore, what are you going to do? You can take out the card. You can think about it. What's your therefore? What's your fear? Or who is he calling you to hold up? Because we know we don't do this alone. I haven't done it alone. It's taken a lot of people to get me this far. And many of you have been a part of that. What's your therefore? Because today is the beginning of getting rid of the shell. Let's pray. God, you are so amazing. It is amazing to me that you love us that much, that you can take the darkest of things and turn it into new life. You can take every circumstance and bring life and renewal. You can take every hurt and change it into love. But that means we have to trust you. So stir within us, Lord. Make us uncomfortable. Allow us to see what you see in the way you see it. Because then we know our life is going to be amazing, just as you promised. It's in your name we pray. Amen.